This is McGuire on the Wire, brought to you by McGuire Sponsel. We are a national consulting firm aiming to provide facts, advice, and updates on the ever-changing world of tax law. This podcast will give you base-level information as well as high-level thought leadership on how to navigate these technical disciplines. At McGuire Sponsel, we provide unique services to our clients using an old-school, hands-on approach that is deeply respected within the CPA industry. Now stick around and listen to one of our experts. We're glad you're here.
What I want to talk about today is a little bit about car dealerships. Car dealerships in recent years have been going through a number of changes. I think most cities in America have that strip that you can think of where car dealerships all seem to congregate. Sometimes we call it Car Dealership Row or something else. And you can just drive down it right now and see that the different dealerships have really rebranded. You can drive down there and see that certain ones have had to put the metal cladding on the outside or ACM panels. They've built a lot of new dealerships, other things. And that's caused by a number of things. The biggest thing is that a lot of the dealership groups have pushed to do branding, to make sure that everything is consistent, to make sure they have that consistent message. Whether it's Ford, Honda, Toyota, whatever, they've all kind of pushed the same general idea. Now, that creates an opportunity. It creates an opportunity for a cost segregation study or some other type of depreciation study. Now, just to give a little bit of background before we get into really why, is it's important to know that the rules surrounding depreciation have changed a lot in recent years. We've gone through some changes where we now have the tangible property regs, which allow us to do something called disposition of a structural component or a partial asset disposition. Now, what that means is when somebody goes through a renovation, we can write off the assets that are removed from service as when we have to capitalize a new asset. This creates an opportunity, but additionally, just the extent of the renovations that the car dealerships are going through creates an opportunity. Now, when we look at this, one thing to understand is why they went through it. Now, I'm going to give an example. I believe it was Ford, but some of the car dealership companies have pushed through and required that dealerships comply with their new branding initiative. And one of the ways they funded it is they would go in and say, if you meet our criteria, we'll give you up to 50% of the qualified expenses back. So for example, a car dealership might go through a $3 million renovation. The parent company might say $2 million of it is qualified, and they would reimburse 50% of that, or $1 million. Now, the problem that came up is a lot of the car manufacturers were pushing that through as an advertising expense. Now, that allowed the manufacturer itself to write that off. However, it created a situation where the dealership itself was getting $1 million, but that would be taxable income because they were putting it into a capital asset. So they would have a depreciable asset that they're depreciating over 39 years with $1 million to offset it, but then they would have to go through and claim it on their taxes at a 40% tax rate. They're immediately giving $400,000 back to the IRS. So what we can do is we can use some of these depreciation ideas to offset some of those dollars that they're being given. Now today I want to talk about two different things. Let's talk about first about the new construction of a car dealership. When we go through in a new construction, we can go in and look at these car dealerships. And if you think about a car dealership, we've got a few different ones we can look at. We can look at the old traditional one, which is a really large parking lot with a relatively small building. And that is still probably the case with a lot of the used car dealerships or the non-branded dealership groups. So where we see maybe a used car dealership on the street or something else, that might be where we can create some of that opportunity. Now there, we don't see a lot of personal property. What we see is a lot of land improvements. So if we remember back to depreciation law, land improvements are 15-year assets that we can get 150% declining balance on. Now, the nice thing is, under the new tax law, even if those are used assets, they're bonus eligible. So if somebody goes out and buys a dealership like that today, not only do they get to write off the parking lot over 15 years, but that parking lot is bonus eligible. So in reality, they get to write it off over one. So if we go in and we buy, let's say they buy a $3 million new dealership building, And of that $3 million, let's say 30% of that is parking lot related assets. That's $900,000. That's a bonus eligible asset that can be written off immediately. So there's a big savings there if somebody just goes out and buys a dealership, even if that dealership is pretty minimal in its building standards. Now, once we get into the building itself, we start looking at where the personal property exists. Now, with a car dealership, one of the things people always think about with personal property is flooring. Now, I will warn you that with car dealerships, often a lot of the flooring is real property. Car dealerships typically have to use a hard tile or some other type of flooring in their showroom. And that's for two reasons. Number one, the manufacturers often require them to meet certain criteria and make it all look the same. Number two, they often park cars in the middle of their showroom, and parking cars on carpet is never a good idea. So they'll often put it with some type of hard tile flooring. That becomes a 39-year asset. But they might have hookups for electrical connections near those to put in displays. They're going to have a lot of specialty cabinetry. Sometimes they have demountable or movable partitions for cubicles for the salespeople. Then you get into the service area. There might be a washdown bay where there's some plumbing allowed for the washdown bay. You're going to have power for a lot of the service equipment and et cetera. So there are a number of things within the dealership itself that become personal property as well. So just thinking about a traditional dealership, either a purchase or new construction, there's a lot of things that a cost segregation study can look at to accelerate. Now, however, that's not a lot of what we've been seeing in recent years. A lot of what we've been seeing in recent years is these renovations. Sometimes they're known as EBE or essential brand element renovations, where a dealership will go in and spend a lot of money upgrading the branding of the building to meet the criteria of the manufacturing company or the automobile manufacturer. So let's take, for example, let's just take an arbitrary dealership that's sitting on the side of a highway. They might have to go in and redo the whole exterior of the building. Now, if you've driven down one of these auto dealer rows in recent years, you can think about those new buildings that you're seeing. Most of them, they might have originally had some type of stucco exterior, but if you drive down the road now, you're going to see them covered in these metal panels. Those are known as ACM panels. Those ACM panels, we have to look at how they're attached. Sometimes they're just bolted on and they're more decorative in nature, but often they actually do provide some type of insulation or structural stability to the building. However, let's think about that renovation. If we have an old Ford dealership and it was that old stucco exterior and they want to change it to this ACM exterior, well, they might be taking off a lot of that front wall in order to put more of a glass partition type thing on that front wall so you can see the cars as you drive down the road. Then they're going to put on these panels. Well, under the tangible property regs, as I mentioned earlier, you can write off an asset when it's removed from service. So let's say that that dealership is 10 years old and they bought that dealership 10 years ago. They've only been depreciating that dealership over 39 years. When they go in and they remove that exterior wall in order to put a new glass wall on the front, they can write off the remaining basis of that exterior wall. So if that exterior wall originally was acquired for $100,000, they've been depreciating it for 10 years over a 39-year life, it would still have a basis of $75,000. They can write that off when that occurs. So that creates one opportunity. Then you can go in and look at the same thing. Remember, earlier I said that most of the flooring systems within an auto dealership are real property. That means that tile flooring that's in there might be real property. They can go through and write off the existing tile while capitalizing the new one. Now, it might be the case that in certain cases, that might actually be considered a repair or a minor thing under the tangible property regs. And that's something we would have to look at, is whether when something hits a element of being a repair versus capital. And so all these things start combining and create an opportunity. So we need to look at that. So if we take, for example, a dealership that we looked at years ago, where right when these tangible property regs came out, and we had a dealership where the building originally acquired 10 years prior. When they acquired that building 10 years earlier, that building was capitalized over 39 years and depreciated over 39 years relatively slowly. Now, what happened is then they go through and they do a $3 million renovation. Well, originally we were just doing a cost segregation study on that $3 million renovation. We were moving, let's say 20% of that or $600,000. That created a net present value savings of about $120,000. Now, what then happens is, though, when we open that up and start looking at the original building, we might find that 10 or 20% of that original building was removed from service during this renovation process. That creates the opportunity to write all those assets off. So there's an additional benefit that might be even larger than the benefit that we originally saw under the cost seg by removing those assets from service as they're put in place. So that creates a huge opportunity. So if we think about it, those opportunities start growing. Now, it is important. What we have seen in recent years is people get a little bit aggressive on things like these ACM panels that I mentioned earlier. Because they have a decorative look to them, a lot of times people immediately go and say, no, that's more like signage or it's a decorative item. And unfortunately, we have to look at how those are attached to the building. Do they tie into some of the other structural components? Are they a element that is part of the building where maybe the storefront is integrally tied into those? Or are they truly just something that's decorative in nature? And depending on what that answer is, that might determine how that life is. So it's not always a simple black or white scenario. We really need to dive into the engineering plans to really determine how to handle those assets. Now, finally, we've got an additional opportunity that occurs now that we've got the new tax law. Under the new tax law, personal property and land improvements that are bonus eligible are eligible for 100% bonus depreciation, whether they are new or used. So let's take a person that goes out and buys a car dealership with the intent to renovate in the near future, and they buy it in 2018. So let's say we have ABC Company. An ABC Company wants to buy a Honda dealership that they see available, and they go out and buy the real estate of an existing Honda dealership. Now, it might be that they're going to gut the interior of the building, so there's not going to be a whole lot of personal property, but there's a significant amount of land improvements. Under the new tax law, all those land improvements are going to be bonus eligible, even though they're used. Then they go in and they renovate the building. Well, number one, we're going to find all that personal property, all the things like the, I told you there's not a lot of carpet, but all the cabinetry, all of the lifts for the in the service area, the compressed air in the service area, those type of items are all going to be personal property and going to be not only eligible for a five-year treatment, but also eligible for bonus depreciation. Additionally, they're going to have a lot of what's considered qualified improvement property. Now, qualified improvement property is non-structural items to the interior of the building. So that could be the lighting system. That could be that flooring system I mentioned earlier. That could be some of the drywall that's repaired on the interior of the building. Those things are 1250 property, so typically subject to a 39-year life. Now, under the new tax law, they are subject to 179 treatment. So if the taxpayer is under their 179 limitation, they might be able to write those off under the 179 provisions. Now, if they can't do that, under the tax law, that was supposed to be bonus eligible. So when they originally drafted the tax law, they were supposed to make all that qualified improvement property a 15-year lived asset eligible for bonus depreciation. Unfortunately, the tax law was drafted in the middle of the night, and they missed that. And so, unfortunately, right now, it's still 39-year assets, not eligible for bonus. There is hope that there'll be a technical correction to fix that. But when they do, that will then make all of that bonus eligible. So we've got some additional benefits related to car dealerships that we haven't seen in the past. The point of this is, with car dealerships, there's a lot of different things going on, and it's important to look at each different element of it. And so when we go in and we look at it, it's important to have engineers that can determine how ACM panels are attached to the building, when something is removed from service, and actually verifying and quantifying that number. How much is personal property? How much is 179 eligible? How much is in this new qualified improvement property category? By doing that, the benefits of looking at a cost seg study on a car dealership can really be expanded on and increased.
Thanks so much for listening to McGuire on the Wire. Have a question from today's episode or interested in our team covering another topic? Reach out to us at McGuire on the Wire at McGuireSponsel.com.